So I got one of those full pulpits here. Am I on, right? Got one of those full pulpits so you can't see my knees shaking. But I had an opportunity to speak in front of about 1,200 people one time. And my wife said at the end, she came to me, she goes, she says, I don't know, you got me real nervous. I'm like, oh, what did I do now? She goes, you seem comfortable up there. I said, oh, okay. Reason why I get nervous is because when I was early Christian, I looked at this verse with Samuel. It said, not one word of his fell to the ground. I said, Lord, that's what I want to do. I don't ever want one word what I speak fall to the ground. Let that be my model, and I'll be okay with it. This is welcome to the ICF checkup. This is our time we get together and we go for a checkup. We're under the care of Dr. Anthony Balsamo. How ironic. And I'm not his physician's assistant. I'm not his nurse practitioner. I'm not his RN. I'm not even his LPN. I'm one of his patients, and I'm doing well under his care. And I thank you for that. So the 100-year investment, what's in your wallet? That's the second part of that they left out. The name of the sermon is the 100-year investment, what's in your wallet? I found that a lot of times our problems don't really start in the church. I had to struggle with this message. I got this whole thing out. I got some verses. Seemed like, okay, I guess the Lord is speaking to me. Pastor Tony asked me 3 questions, and he said, I want you to speak on that. I'm like, all right, that's a little different. Usually I'll get something. But he asked me to speak on something, and I got this thing, scriptures. I felt comfortable, and I started writing it out, and I got it all, getting it down. Okay, looks like the Lord was feeding me some stuff, and got it all on the computer so I could send it, you know, and make sure it's okay. And I lost the whole thing on a computer. It did an upgrade after I told it not to. And it did it anyway, and I went to the clipboard, and it was gone. Totally gone. Tried everything. Took the life out of me. I went to bed that night, didn't sleep the whole night. And I found myself laying in bed preaching the whole night. And on all this warfare stuff. What's on? You know, I look at the big picture. That's who I am. I don't look at little things, little skirmishes. I look at the big picture. What's behind it? Motives, that kind of stuff, you know? As I look at this big picture, I'm seeing things in the church, who's coming in, who's here, you know, what's going on, what are we doing, right, wrong. I see all that stuff, and I could preach on it. And then sometimes you would say, well, you know, maybe the Lord wants you speaking on something else and not on what you're doing, you know, and that's why you lost it. Now, Pastor Tony asked me to speak on something, and that's my responsibility. Not what I think, what he asked me. That's who I am. I'm the servant, you know. And so when I realized that, I woke up in the morning of thinking about all this spiritual warfare stuff, I said, you know what? I got the right message. Because the spiritual warfare stuff starts at home. So I would like you to think right now about your monetary investments, all your retirements, your properties, your funds, stocks, anything that you might have that's, you know, of your security that you've built in your life right now, okay? And what this economy is going to do because of that, the uncertain future it'll bring on you and your family, as your success that you leave behind, okay? And now I want you to forget about all that, because that's not what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about your significance. What you leave behind. We're going to look at some biblical truths and see where we can apply some stuff. And we're going to especially look at our children and those we're responsible for. You see, the money will run out fast after we're gone. But the heritage of who we were in Christ and how we taught our children can last for 100 to 150 years after you're gone, some longer. We don't think like that sometimes. We're going to look at 3 children in our own congregation, how they started out and where they are today. So we have the first one. This is, first one's going to be Pastor Tony. Now, he could have been a famous football player, very successful, doing well, but here he is today as a testimony of what God has done in his life. Second one, Pastor Tom Laubin. I think he could have been the inventor of the boombox. But no, he chose to serve God. And last but not least, and he's not here, and I wish he was here, Joe Gallagher. Could have been a rock star. I say to Joe and I, we met before he used to be in a home group with me, and we used to play guitars and all, and And I said, you are the best guitar player I've ever heard in my life. And he said to me, you need a life. You got to get out more often, you know? But he is still the best because he's here in the house of the Lord, and he could have been a rock star. He could have been out there doing whatever he wanted to do. The question that we have now is, how much time do we put into these two areas? Meaning the money, our investments, or the future, all the things we plan, and our children. So the first one we're going to look at is the money. You know, I didn't get to do this. I was really trying to get this for you. You know, you hear a lot, there goes the rest of the notes. You hear a lot about, Jesus talked about money more than anything else in the New Testament. I'd love to put in, maybe we've got to try this, I'd love to put in how much money, all the things of money and monetary things there is in the whole Bible, and how many things there is on children and family and that kind of stuff. We might be surprised. I haven't done it yet. I tried to do it before this, but I didn't have one of those programs that'll make you do it in 5 minutes, so I couldn't read the whole entire of scriptures, but possibly one day I will do it. Matthew 6, my first scripture, Matthew 6, 19 to 20 and 31 to 34. Okay, 6, 19 to 20. Do not lay up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust will destroy, and where thieves will break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust will destroy, and where thieves will not break in and steal. And then 31 to 34. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves with? Or these are the things that the Gentiles eagerly seek for. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself, and the day has enough trouble of its own, which we all know. So much for the money part, that we're done. The money part's over. You might be saying right now, you don't really understand. You don't understand the problems that I have with my kids. Ever hear it said, you know, where God said, God had trouble with his kids too? And he didn't give up. So right now in Britain, the young people are rioting in the streets and all over the place. I heard even now going to California, they're trying to keep it out of the news media. So more teens, more youth doesn't realize it and pick up on a bandwagon and do the same thing. But this is happening all over the world right now. It's pretty sad. You know what the world is saying? The world, not the church, the world is saying these are the latchkey kids. These are kids that grew up with no parents in the home, divided families, out working, and that's what we're seeing the result of these kids that we're seeing right now. We can look back to certain times, all of us, and say that it was better than now. I have to say, was it really? Did our fathers spend time with us? Some did, and some could not. Did they teach us? Some did, and some did not. Did they do the best with what they had? Most did. Did they teach us spiritual things? Some did, and here, most did not. In a 90-day period, they took a survey of Christian kids. 66% lied to a parent, teacher, or an adult. 59% lied to their peers. 45% watched MTV twice a week. 36% cheated on exams or tests. 23% smoke. 20% tried to physically hurt somebody. 12% gotten drunk. 8% use illegal drugs or prescription drugs. But 65% said that they pray every day. Interesting. That was 1998. So where do you think that is today if we took that survey? So what seems to be the problem? They can't decide. This is what they came down to, the people that did this. They can't seem to decide between what's true and right anymore. They're not able to discern that. That's not being taught. So because of that, it causes confusion. 65% pray. So why all those other things? It's like, don't even know if that's right or wrong anymore. You see? The judgment is being taken away here. Many times I had to look back at my own life and when there was, I had trouble with the kids and trouble in the family, whether it be attitudes or their schoolwork. You know, there's a lot of avenues that it pops up when the kids are having trouble. And I had to look back and say, when I'm out of order, they're going to be out of order. When there's tension in the home, there's tension with the kids. After that, we look at the man, speaking to the men. After that, we look at the friends, their personalities, or their worries, or their concerns. That's after. Normally, we go to that first. Go to ourselves first. Between 1620 and 1640, some 20,000 Puritans came to America and settled in Plymouth and Boston, mostly in that area. They came with pastors, they built churches. We see a shadow of days gone by. Even on Long Island's North and South Forks, we see many churches of days gone by, some here and others added in. In our area of Santa Mauritius alone, there are 11 churches within 3 minutes of us from the 1800s, some of them. Although they built these churches to meet in, most of the teaching and instruction of moral and spiritual things came from the father in the home. Doctrinal teaching and prayer were his priority, as well as community service and his connection, his accountability. Most men taught in schools, not women. Okay? Most material was written to the man on child rearing, not the woman. Very interesting. In divorce cases, most of the times, the children were given to the fathers. We don't really kind of understand that. We're all willing to say, well, it should go with the mother, right? She's the one that cares. This is when this happened. This is when this change started. Not when you grew up or your father grew up. This is when those principles were being attacked. For the children, it was a matter of absolute respect. Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, and it shall be good for you in the land, right? And for the father, for his children, he got Ephesians. Don't exasperate your children to anger, right? Don't provoke your children to wrath. Be careful of how you handle this. So there was a really good balance of respect between the parents for the child and the children to the adult. Here's our time. We're in 2 Timothy 3:2. For men will be lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. See the disobedience we see now? So what happened to a good system? Enter the Industrial Revolution. It started in 1780 to 1850 in Britain, and then it spread across to America in 1820 to 1870 and to the rest of the world all around that time. There are arguments to exactly when it went here or there, you know, not important. All around this time is when this happened. No longer was this Puritan man working around or very close to his home in his community, but now traveling greater distances to go to work, 10 to 12 hours a day, so much for the Bible study with the kids. And now he's home tired, getting up the next day, and ready to do it again. Sound familiar? Now the mother has to say, wait till your father gets home. Right? Before, the father would discipline immediately. Now she has to say, wait till your father gets home. And I remember some of my friends, they got worse from their mother. Trust me. But this was a very critical time, what was happening here. Actually, during this print, it was a printing revolution that also came into play because of the machines and all that stuff. Okay, now most of the stuff was being written to the mother. Okay, she was now seen as the more pure, more upright, sensitive, the one keeping a true civilizing force in life. And he was just providing the money. And that's what happened. And that's what we have today. How many men in this church got saved after your wife or through your wife? Can I see your hand? After your wife or through your wife? How many children got saved through your mom and not your dad? You see this? So the role has been reversed, and we're living it out. Thank God for the women. Thank God that they have held their ground and stood firm and kept to those principles and kept to the good things. Thank God for them. This is not to look at our failure from the past. Sometimes we have a pause. I got this when I came in this morning and sat down. But I have a pause. Margaret and I married like 45 years. But at 20 years, we got hit hard. Me. You know, I fell. And I had to watch living out of the home for 1 year, living in what I call the cave, and seeing my kids once a week. And I'm speaking to the men here. It's a pause time, okay? Time where the Holy Spirit would give you a caution or a warning. Be careful right now. Men, be careful. Don't think that you're going to go through something. If you have a difference, any issue, your wife or anything, don't think you're going to walk out and you're going to handle this. It'll kill you. Trust me. It came that close to killing me, and I'm a survivor. So that's just a word to be cautioned, okay? So we're not going to go back and look at our failures, but we want to look forward. We want God to give us encouragement to what can I do now, Lord? We look at Proverbs. I was reading the Proverbs, and I noticed all these chapters in the beginning. Chapter 2 says, my son, if you will. Chapter 3, my son, do not forsake. Chapter 4, my son, hear, O sons. 5, give attention, my son. 6, my son, if you, my son, keep my words. 7, I mean, unbelievable stuff where God is speaking to us as men to listen to this. And God has a lot to say about our children, to us as parents, about our children. Psalm 90, 16. The paper disappeared. Psalm 90, 16. Let thy work appear to thy servants, and thy majesty to thy children. That's an interesting psalm. Let thy work, O Lord, appear to me, and as I serve you and do what you want me to do, your majesty appear to my children. That is a powerful, powerful thing. Joel 2, chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Blow a trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride come out of her chamber. Let the priest, the Lord's ministers, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and do not make thine inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say amongst the people, where is their God? Well, they would be in challenge with some heavy stuff here. But what did they say here? Bring in the children, even the nursing ones. Take them to church. Wherever you go, take them to church. That's a responsibility we have as parents to enforce and do. Psalm 127, 3 to 5. Behold, the children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak of their enemies in the gate. What is the Lord referring to children as? Arrows. Why do you think that is? What does an archer do? He shoots the arrow further than he can go. It goes beyond what he even sees. It goes further. That's why they use this word arrows here, I think. You know? So our responsibility, planning for the future with our children. Sometimes we're just trying to survive. We're just trying to get through. Lord, let me just get through the stuff I'm going through here, you know, and I'll help my family. Oh, you know what? Sometimes the enemy distracts us with stuff that comes against us. To take our eyes off of that, the family. You might say we live day to day. You know, why does God want us looking ahead? Well, Psalm 102, verse 18. I didn't research these. These are some scriptures God was just giving me as I had them, and it was all of a sudden I put them together. I'm like, okay, I guess God's saying something to me. Psalm 102, 18. This gets interesting. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. a generation to come. Deuteronomy, I get this one in Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 3, talking about the land they're going to go into. You and your sons and your grandsons. See how God's thinking generationally here? Psalm 78, 1 to 7. I love getting these scriptures and just putting these pictures together. You know, it's just a very neat thing to do. Psalm 78, 1 to 7. O my people, listen to my instruction. Incline your ears to my words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter in dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, but our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wondrous works of what he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, and that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, and that they would put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. He's talking about the generation to come. Those that haven't even heard it yet. I'm like, what does the proverb say? A wise man puts away inheritance for his children and his children's children. That hit me about 10 years ago. I started thinking about that when I got grandkids. I said, he's telling me about my kids that I might not have even done enough right now, a very good job. And he's talking to me about grandkids already, you know, that he's concerned about. I'm like, holy cow, I got a lot to pick up the pace here and learn. Psalm 71, 17 and 18, and this one was God breathed into me. I mean, this scripture just came to me and hit me like a ton of bricks. I think I'm at that place, you know, I'm at that age maybe, and it just, oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and I still declare thy wondrous deeds. You know, I could look back. Margaret and I have known the Lord about 34 years now, and I think that's what really affected me. I'm being asked to speak here today. It really impacted me. Even when I am old and gray, oh God, do not forsake me. And here's the key. Until I declare thy strength to this generation and thy power to all that are to come. And this thing just ripped me right open. I think I'm in a place where I'm being broken by God, you know. We've been broken by God in little areas of our life, different things from time to time. And it comes to a point where I think Paul went through this, you know, where just everything goes. Everything goes except God. That's a wonderful place. It's a very confusing place, but it's a wonderful place. And when I read this, I said, yes, Lord, everything can go. But let me finish my course declaring thy word to this generation and to that generation to come. That's the 100 to 150-year investment that we want to do. That's the significance of what we would love to leave behind, if God can help us do that. You say it's been tough, and that's a vision. See, I wrote that scripture down as a vision. Because I remember Proverbs, you know, Holy Spirit always brings these scriptures to our mind that you think you didn't memorize, but the Holy Spirit has a way of bringing up what we read. That's why it's important to keep filling yourself with the Word of God. Don't think you have to memorize it. If you can't, I have trouble understanding. Baloney, don't worry about it. Keep tucking it away. God's Spirit is the one that does this work in us. Proverbs, without a vision, the people perish, right? So we want to have a vision. We want to have these goals. We want to keep these in our forefront. You say it's been tough for me and you need a promise to hold on to. Okay? Been tough with you with your kids. I have a promise for you. This is another one that God breathed into me about probably when I first came to this church. I never shared it yet. And now here it is. And it's a good one. Isaiah 59, 20 to 21. And a redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. As for me, this is God speaking. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forevermore. Amen. That is powerful. When I got that scripture, and he asked me to speak on this, I said, I got one scripture. If that's all I get, that's enough. That one right there. Because that's a promise for you, your offspring, and your offspring's offspring. See, we have an example right here in front of us. We have another example right there. We have a lot of examples here. Very, very powerful. God's word coming alive in us. So keep listening and keep reading. Keep standing firm with that hope, and God will help you overcome if you have doubts and troubles or confusion from the past, you know, feeling bad from the past, things like that. Single moms, may God give you all you need, and may we not fail you. My daughter is a single mom. The first church I came from, my pastor told me one time, well, I look back and I see a legacy and how many people went out to ministry and things like that. I was doing a lot of missions. Others became pastors, things like this. And I said to him, you know what? I don't see any of that. I see that my daughter went through a divorce. Your daughter went through a divorce. How many other of the leaders' children went through divorces in this church? It was profound. It saddens me. I'm not happy about what I did. I'm sad about what happened, how the enemy got in, and this is what happened to our children. My daughter, the kids were even taken away from the husband, from drugs. The court, he had court supervision. They even took him away from that. You haven't seen him in probably 7 years now. And when I first came to this church, my daughter came to visit on a Father's Day, and she said to me, Dad, and the Bible says, let another praise you and not yourself. That's why I'm doing this. And she said, Dad, you know who that man is up there? I said, no. She goes, that's Scott Forsmith. She said, that's the boys' counselor. So I publicly thanked Scott. I thanked him when I found that out, but I publicly thank him again that he helped my family. She said, Dad, trust me, this man did a lot for those boys. He was very good. Amen. So thank you, Scott. I see how the body helps one another together. And the things that you sow, you see how God don't forget? He honors you for them. He remembers those things you've done. Very powerful. How ironic. I come to this church and he comes to this church and we get to meet like that. My daughter just visits one day, you know. She goes to Smithtown and this will happen. I'll tell you, God is really, really, really good. So now what can we do? We often think that the church will do the necessary things for us, for our children or our young people. But I always remember Vinny Cadero, he's sick. He's not here today. I have my name tag on, Tom, Vinny's assistant. It's a joke. Him and I are in class together, and we joke back and forth because I tell him, Vinny, I'm going to be your assistant one day. And he'll go, no, I'm going to be your assistant one day. So every class for months and months, we go back and forth with this. Till finally, I put it on my name tag, and I said, I showed Pastor Tony already. So he goes, all right, you got me. You're my assistant. So we have this little thing going. But maybe it's good that he's not here today because I need to share something with you. But he says to you, I'm here to partner with you, to the parents. You see, he's not here to just do that whole thing. He's here to partner with you and help you do it. That's teamwork. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's a wonderful concept, and he's got it down right. Now I'm going to just for a couple of just 2 minutes speak on Joplin and the food pantry. I read that scripture last week out of Deuteronomy, talking about the foreigner, the alien, the widow, the orphan, the Levite in your land. They don't have an inheritance. It's our responsibility to feed them and to help them, right? And the Joplin thing, for whatever reason, we didn't have a great showing. So we it cost more than we took in. There's somewhat of a shortfall there, okay? And the food pantry, we get a lot of requests a lot that we're a little low, we need to build it up. Here's all I want to say on these two things. If somehow you got in your head, you got something that said, you know what, the Joplin thing right now, that's a little far away, we got needs right here. If that thought entered your mind and prevented you from giving at all, or the food pantry, I saw a vehicle out here one day, I was here on a Tuesday, with 22-inch, 24-inch wheels. I don't know what they were, those big things, you know. And I didn't recognize the vehicle. I mean, and instantly in your mind, what happens? You first think, well, who's coming here to take in this thing? Is it, you know, are they driving in this car, coming to get food pantry? We worry about maybe drug addicts are coming to take it and they're selling the food to go buy drugs, misuse, abuse, blah, blah, blah. If at any time during these two things you get any thought like that, know it's from the devil and not from God.
That's right.
Okay? It's happened to me. I had to catch myself just like that quickly. So if that had happened to you with regards to Joplin or the food pantry, there's an easy way to fix it. Just do what God tells you to do. Not what you hear me say. What does God tell you to do? If you feel God say, you know what? He's right. I hear you. Do it. Break it, man. Send a thing in. Note it for a food pantry. Note it for a Joplin, youth group, anything. Make sure you do it. And you'll clear that thing right up. Because that's how the enemy comes in and tries to discourage us. I'm going to share a quick testimony with you. It's from 30-something years ago, so you can do things after they're 10 years old. They say you can share them, you know. So I had a friend in a church, and back then we weren't doing real well when we got saved. We got stripped of everything and went down to zero, below poverty, and we lived and we were happy. And so we didn't have fuel in the tank, anything like that. So we would go out, and I had an 18-gallon tank. We would go and buy a kerosene or whatever we can get. Fuel was 19 cents a gallon back then, by the way. That's when I got saved. So if I ever forget how when I got saved, I could always say it's when fuel was 19 cents a gallon. So we would fill the tank up and get 20 gallons in, make a couple of trips, and buy enough time, and that's how we lived. And so we all did it. We did it for a lot of people. And so this brother came one time and said, can I borrow your tank? And he says, you know, I said, oh, you're going to fill it up? He goes, well, I'm going to do a little each day. Can I keep it for a while? Because I can only put in, like, you know, a couple of dollars at a time. That's all I have. Ooh, I said, all right. So I said, I felt, as he was walking away, I said, hold on, brother. And back then, giving 20 bucks was like giving, you know, 2,000. So I said, listen, I need to give you this for the tank and the fuel. Go get it all filled up today. Get yourself whatever you're going to need so you don't have to do this every day. And as he's walking away, I felt God say, if he don't have money for fuel, he doesn't have money for food. So I called him back, and I gave him another $20. So he thanked me and left. Never heard nothing since. A year and a half later, this man comes up to me in the church and says, I have to thank you for something. And I got to share something with you. I'm like, what? He goes, remember that time when you gave me the tank and you gave me the money for the fuel? Totally gone. Didn't remember it at all, you know? That's what we do. It's like no big deal. And he said, well, you gave me that $20 for fuel, and then you gave me the other $20. He had 8 kids. So he said, you gave me that other $20 for fuel, for food? And he says, I have to tell you what I did. He said, I was an alcoholic. And he said, I bought a bottle, and I drank the whole thing. And he said, God convicted me so bad. He said, I never got so sick in my life. I thought I was going to die. He says, I need to tell you something. I never drank since. And I'm totally free. And he says, I needed to tell you that. I said, man, thank you. You see, I didn't even remember the thing. But here in that testimony, you know what? When I'm tempted about giving and I get those thoughts, you're not going to discourage me. You see, what God is saying in that Deuteronomy scripture, if you do what the church is telling you to do, is a vision of the church, if we get behind it as a whole body and we do this, God's going to bless the work of your hands.
Amen.
That's not a prosperity doctrine. That's God helping you in your life, period.
Amen.
That's all we need to do with that. Done. So with Vinny, I know he carries this, and he's such a great servant of the Lord. He doesn't think bad about nothing. He doesn't dwell on it. He's, you know, bless it. Bless the food pantry. Bless the thing. Whatever you feel to do, we're done with that. I was looking at Paul's writings, and he could build you up right where he got your attention, and then he could just nail you dead on, right? He, you know, build you up, oh, you're so great in the Lord, but I have this thing I want to say to you, boom, you know, and it's like, oh. I noticed to his letters to Timothy, in 1st and 2nd Timothy, he used a lot of exhortation by encouragement. And that's what I've been concentrating on. I want to be an exhorter by encouragement. See, Timothy was no old-timer. He was kind of young here. Maybe in his late teens, maybe somewhere around there. And Paul took a lot of care for him with his words. See, something happened with Paul. He learned, you know. He didn't do the normal thing that he did with younger people. He was more careful here with Timothy. You see that? So he learned something. And you should read both of these letters. If you can't quote me a scripture from 1 or 2 Timothy, you should go home and read both of those letters. You're going to be blessed, I guarantee you. And not the easy ones like, don't let anyone look down on your youthfulness, or the sipping Christians one, I call this one, sipping Christians. Take a little wine for your stomach, right? That's the sipping Christians' favorite, okay? But if you can't quote one of those other scriptures from Timothy, read those books. You're going to be blessed, I guarantee it. You will see encouragement by exhortation, by encouragement. You'll see it. Now for the to-do list. Two areas that we teach our children, physical and spiritual. In the physical is what? Spending time with them. Activities, hobbies, games, movies, cars, fishing, sports, shopping. I know, girls, I didn't leave you out. Shopping. Actually, my girls have done cutting up an 8-foot shark with me in the yard. You know, they've done some wild and crazy things, my kids. Taking them out to lunch. I've been doing this, not even realizing it, one-on-one. Not all of them, but one-on-one sometimes. Just spending some time, just taking them to lunch, listening to them, right? And they'll say, oh, where's your father? Oh, he's out to lunch. No, not that way. How's it going, right? How are you doing? How's it going? You know, things like that. Spiritual, what are the spiritual ways? Praying for, praying with, let them hear you pray, especially for them or over them. Let them hear you do it. Great opportunity. We have one again today, birthdays. Birthdays is our favorite in our families because Dad gets to pray. And I think Old Testament when I think of these guys, where they pray in their families. And I get, it's like, who can make somebody cry when we pray? That's our thing, you know? But it's a powerful thing to pray, pronouncing blessings over them, right? For the year ahead, thanking God for them in their presence. Recount for them the blessings that they have been in your life. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow, we give them. If they go to church with you, talk about the sermon on the way home. Mini cohesion, I call it, you know? A lot of times you'll be surprised that your children are listening and understanding quite a bit. And sitting and talking with them is a great help and communication and building, you know, strong bonds. Paul said to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:3, day and night I constantly pray for you. Timothy 4:2, he tells him, preach and be ready in season and out of season. And in 3:16, be encouraged. He tells them, get equipped and get ready, you know, to preach. You might say now, well, I don't have kids, so I'm off the hook. Well, Matthew 12, where's our Matthew scripture? It's gone. Matthew 12, 46 to 50. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Remember that one? He says, all those who do the will of my Father. So nursery teachers, Sunday school teachers, talk about your arrows. Anybody that's taught Sunday school in the youth and sees them grow up later on, you realize there's some of your arrows. Youth group helpers, pick a child each week and pray for them. You have a great opportunity in a church like this. We have a lot of young people. You can pick someone. You can say, you know what? I'm going to pray for Rosie. I'm going to pick her, and I'm going to pray for her. They don't even have to know you're doing it. Okay? You might be surprised, though, someday. You're just praying for a child. You might be surprised how God lets you see the results of that. And that God, that child even knows that you've been praying for him. God has a way of doing things like this. Young people, if you're here in the hearing of my voice, you're one of them. You too have a part to play in this. Thankfully receive your mom and dad for what they're doing for you right now. Be very thankful and aware of that. Pray for them that God will direct them. That's your part, to pray for your parents that God will direct them. And that they are in a, be aware that they're in a battle for you, more than you might even realize. Don't hold on to things or try to beat problems by yourself. If you have, you know, we have good trusted leadership. We had good trusted spiritual moms and dads in this church. If you have an issue, you have a burden, you have something that's troubling you, just go to someone that you trust and look up to and say, you know what? You don't even have to tell them what it is. You say, you know what? Could you just pray for me? I just need someone to pray for me. That's it. That's all you have to do. The altars at the end of the service, they're open to you. They're open to the young people. Don't feel like this is just for the parents and your time is coming later on. No. This is here for you. I'm going to ask you a favor. Name tags, please. I, along with many other people in this church, want to know your name. And sometimes I'll go by and I want to say something and I'm like, I tease you. I say, hey, where's your name tag, you know? Put a name tag on there. We want to get your name down like this. I've been here a year and a half. I don't know all the names. That's embarrassing to me. That's terrible. I want to know your name. You walk past, I want to greet you. I want to know your name. So if you can do it, put a name tag on. Make up a funny one like I do. I change them all the time. I put all kinds of crazy things. So you can do that too. Make it fun. But we want to know your name. You're a much part of this fellowship as anybody else. Without you, there's no tomorrow for this church. This church will become a revolving door. You're foundational to this church and its future. You might feel like a pinky as part of this body, but trust me, one day you are going to be the muscle of this church. The enemy knows this, and he's going to offer you the world. He's going to offer you a lot of those things that those men were offered, you see, those little babies. But don't let that distract you. We had some quality family time at Tom and Kathy Early's, and no ultimate fighting, just some arm wrestling thing. And I think Stephen is about to beat Dad. Stephen's here today. He's about to get him. He's close. Kevin just did this year, you know, the joys of passing on the torch. It's like when a man has to pass on a torch to his daughter. That really gets embarrassing, but I've had to do it too. She beat me in track. Oh, I think that's it. Think about it. Plan it out. Set a course. And with God's help, do it. Thank you.